We're at day three of the Virginia Film Festival, and I'm sitting across here from Clay Tweel. And Steve, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
Stephen Klein.
Stephen Klein. All right. And you are the producer and director of Make Believe, a documentary on young magicians. And it's actually screening right now. You just introduced the film.
Yes, I introduced the film, and I've seen it a few hundred thousand times, so I'm over here.
Yeah.
Oh. Happy to say it's a sold-out crowd, because Clay's a hometown hero, so that's good.
Well, yeah, so tell me about that. I understand you have local roots.
Yes, I grew up, born and raised here in Charlottesville. Went to Greenbrier Elementary all the way through Charlottesville High School.
All right.
And then moved out to L.A. About 6 years ago. And have just been kind of bouncing around doing lots of things out there.
So tell me about what brought you to this story and how you got involved.
This story, I'll let Steven tell you the origin story. He's the person that came up with the idea.
Okay.
So I was a magician. I was a teen magician. Nowhere near the level of these kids, but that was how I made my money in high school. And for years... one of our exec producers, Seth Gordon, and I have thought about the idea that there should be a documentary in the world of magic.
Right.
We basically, whenever we go to the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, which is a featured place in the movie, it's a private club for magicians and their guests.
A private club for magicians. I was there once many years ago.
It's a superb place, only place like it in the world,
yeah.
And a sort of a real revered place in the culture of magic.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go and think, God, the people in this world are so fascinating. There's got to be a documentary here. And we would just meet and talk about it and sort of fail to come up with the hook, the story. And then a couple of years ago, I was rehearsing a play in New York. I was at a magic shop there called Tannen's, which is a historic magic shop.
Been there another since, great
yes,
place.
Yes. Absolutely. Been there since the 30s. And these three 12-year-old boys came in who were entirely introverted, you know, could not make eye contact, barely noticing other people in the room, sort of came in a little huddle. And then I was drawn to them just because, their energy was interesting. And they picked up decks of cards and went behind the counter and became salesmen, literally, at the store. Good afternoon. And that transformation from extreme introvert to extreme extrovert was a story. It was fascinating. So I pitched that to our exec producers that it was kids.
Mm-hmm.
We all loved the idea, got excited, and the first person we thought of to direct it was Clay.
Tell us about that decision process, and Clay, tell us about the work you've done that made you a good fit for this film.
Well, when they first came to me with the idea for the Spellbound for Magic idea, I immediately thought that it should be a coming of age story, and meaning that we should be able to follow these kids and live with them, and be able to go deep into their character enough that we see them change and figure out something about themselves through the course of the movie. And that, ultimately that meant that we had to spend a lot of time with them, and for a span of over, I think, almost 2 years worth of shooting, and we had 400 hours of footage. So we had to put in the time, but I think it was well worth it because we got to dig deeper into the kids that we followed, and really, what I wanted to do was really flesh out what the challenges were in each of their lives and watch them overcome it.
Now there are six kids in the film. Are they all boys?
No, there is one female, and she her name's Kristen Lambert. She is like the superstar from Malibu, California, and she is the first time that we went shooting. We were in the Magic Castle,
yeah.
And they have a youth program that meets once a month. We go down there. It's like in the basement of the castle. It's really dark. All these kids are kind of, like as Steven was saying, just like doing card tricks for each other, kind of like
all boys,
and a little nerdy and obsessive, to say the least. And then all
magic
this
geeks.
Magic
yeah.
geeks,
yeah.
Sure.
And at this point, we don't know what the movie's about. We just know kids in magic, and we're test shooting, and we're rolling, and trying to see what's in this world, right?
And then in walks Kristen, who's got long blonde hair, she's pretty, and the room just totally, shifts. Because, and she was immediately fascinating to us. She's super smart and super driven, and so she is just immediately were like, okay, this girl is amazing. We really want to put cameras on her and see what she has to say.
I believe we actually turned to each other and said, what is she doing here?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's a fascinating person.
So okay, so you have your star. How did you find the other children in the film? I mean, you had five boys. Were there many more of them in the beginning, and you selected the ones that you just got the best footage of, and they made the best story on camera?
Yeah, we've told, if you, depending on how you count, you know, followed, I mean, we interviewed once, you know, 50, 60 kids or more.
Wow.
But if you include going to their homes, meeting their families, or going to their school, things like that, it was probably like 12, 15, you know, and there's really six in the movie who are real fleshed out characters. It was a combination of things. It was who came across well, but it also was really Clay, as director, casting the movie to do two things, and which, of course, you know, he'll chime in about. But since it's a world competition, we knew we wanted kids from all over the world. We wanted to represent that diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And kids who represent different challenges of growing up.
Yeah, I think being able to bounce from like the slums of Cape Town to the, you know, picturesque landscapes of Malibu, and show these kids that have, you know, that are in the same world of magic competition, but are also have their distinct challenges. So like, whether it's, I feel like all the characters really have a challenge that they are, that represents, you know, it's a universal theme that everybody has when they're growing up. So one of the characters, you know, is just trying to fit in, and another one is really just doesn't have any friends and wants to find his own community.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it's pressure that you put on yourself or pressure from parents. Like, these are all things that I think, you know, we all experience. So that's what I was trying to tap into, and to be able to tap into that and bounce around the world, that was what we're going for.
Even though it's a world that not everybody knows about, the kids are going through things that all kids go through.
Right.
And they're trying to integrate into a community.
Absolutely. So if you're a kid in St. Louis doing magic, you can maybe relate to these kids in South Africa, and I think that's really cool.
Right. Or even if you're not a kid who's into magic, you can see the struggle that they're going through as they're trying to master a craft and get the acceptance of their peers. So, Clay, now have you directed documentary films before?
No, this is my first directing job. I was a editor and producer on The King of Kong, which came out a few years ago.
Right. Do you think there were particular challenges with filming children?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever had that one before. They are...
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look at
yeah,
you.
That's a good question.
That's right.
In terms of trying to get them to stop performing for the camera,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was a magician thing. It probably was a magician and a kid thing. You know, like you have to get them to just talk to you and be really open and honest. That takes a little bit of time to break down that wall. And it also getting them to keep a schedule, you know, to... really, hey, we're going to show up at 9 o'clock tomorrow, and then all of a sudden they call us at 8:30, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm going over to my friend's house because we're going." All right, you have to be a little more responsible than that, because we, you know, it just is a big deal for us to come out there and film you. You know,
what about parents? Are there stage parents in the world of?
Sure, I think we were lucky though. We didn't really have to deal with that.
I mean, it was... Yeah, I wonder what would have happened if we had. By and large, the parents have been incredibly generous, and they're in the movie a lot because they were. They were generous not only in giving us access to their kids, but in giving us honest interviews themselves and letting us spend time with them, because they're each big influences on their kids, obviously. So, I don't know. If one parent had been very challenging, that kid may not have made it into the movie, I suppose, because that would have been a big obstacle.
You know, when we went to the World Magic Seminar, which is where the competition that the documentary focuses on, we interviewed a lot of the kids there, and there was a few that had the, like, parents that were still actively traveling magicians. And I feel like those were the stage parents, but we ended up following any of those kids, so it... We didn't have to delve too far into that problem.
So you're showing this film at festivals. Is this your first, or have you been showing it elsewhere?
No, we have. We premiered at the LA Film Festival in June, and mm-hmm. we won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Documentary.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then we showed at Toronto Film Festival, which was a big deal because it's the biggest festival, I think, in the world at this point. And that was great. We had a great showing up there, and then we went to Austin a couple weeks ago.
We won the audience award at the Austin Film Festival a couple weeks ago. We've also gone to Aspen and Birmingham and Philadelphia and places we're not going to remember, even though we love them. They're all great.
Yeah. Well, have you had a chance to show it? Have you gone back to one of the magic seminars? Had a chance to show it to a group of magicians
this February?
And would you?
Yes, we are. This February,
yeah, we'll be going back to the World Magic Seminar to show it there for the first time in 2011. We'll be announcing official distribution news in the next week or two through sort of standard channels. But the festivals have been really great. They're a great way to get people to see the movie and start talking about it. And we have screened it for magicians. The actual first two audiences before the public premiere,
right.
The first one was for the board of directors of the Magic Castle,
mm-hmm.
and the second one was for the kids and families in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And those were both right before the public premiere in Los Angeles.
And how'd they receive it?
Well, it was those were the most nerve-wracking screenings for us by far.
Yeah.
But everybody liked it, and so we, you know, had a big sigh of relief, and we got the thumbs up.
Los Angeles, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the I think magicians are, what we're hearing is that magicians are really liking the movie because it's respectful of magic. I mean, it ultimately, we've had a lot of people in the film business sort of recognize it as a sports movie. It follows the genre of sports movie in that it is a movie about people working very hard at a physical, concrete skill, and through that hard work, learning lessons about character and life. And magicians appreciate that the movie communicates how hard magic is, because it's an art that, by its very nature, disguises its difficulty.
But if you're a layman, you can just be like, oh, I saw some really great tricks, and now I know how to do a couple. Give away too many secrets, but there's a few you'll learn.
So if someone listening wants to learn more about the film or see some clips, do you have a website or someplace they can go?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to www.makebelievefilm.com.
And I realize right now you're shopping around the festival as you're getting ready to show it early next year, but do you have anything else coming down the pipe? Any other projects looming?
We have a few. Steven and I are working on another documentary that is in its impetus stages. And we also have a few narrative projects that we're working on together as well. So we have lots of irons in the fire, as they say.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Yeah, you too.